Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferraci, your health and wellness resource, where you get the whole scoop and nothing but the scoop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Whole Scoop, where, like it says, we are a health and wellness radio show where our guests are always highly credentialed in the topics that we discuss. It's one of the stipulation to be on the show. I am your host, Carol Ferraci, a registered licensed dietitian, practicing for well over what I'd like to admit, so we're not going to go there tonight. Anyway, you can find me at naturallynutritioninc.com. If you've listened to our show before, you know it's important for me to provide you with qualified guests and highly qualified guests. And so we don't ever deviate from that. Everybody that you hear on this show is well qualified to be talking about whatever it is that we're talking about. And tonight, we're having a major conversation, courageous conversations of overcoming dis-ease. And yes, I said that as a two-syllable word, dis-ease, two words, dis-ease. I'm going to remind you, because I just have to do this, it's like for the stipulation of the kind of thing that we have to do legally, that while our guests are highly credentialed on the topics of discussion, it's always recommended to seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. Not really sure which for this program, but I have to say it. Call-in number is 347-855-8894, 347-855-8894. You can also direct questions and comments to our Facebook Blog Talk Radio group page. Join our group. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you want to hear. Always open for that. Give us questions. Join the show. Participate with the show through that. That's the Facebook, the Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio group. We also have the Whole Scoop Radio.com, where you can access upcoming shows, guest information. You can listen to previous shows. Everything's archived. So, if you do call in and you listen to the show, or if you have a question, we will take them later on in the show. You can, again, 347-855-8894. If you do have a question, press the number 1, get in the queue for questions. That'll alert me that you have a question, and that at that point I'll call out like the last 4 digits of your telephone number so that you know that it's you that is on the air live. All that being said, I got to tell you about tonight. I mean, I am just thrilled. And I guess thrilled really isn't the word. I'm honored. I'm actually honored to have Kamari with us tonight. If you know anything at all about Kamari, or you think you've heard about Kamari, trust me, tonight she never disappoints. She is an internationally acclaimed intuitive coach, a Reiki master, best-selling author, spiritual evolutionary, and animal mystic. Kamari's deepest joy is empowering you to unwrap your innate, intuitive, manifesting, and healing gifts. Kamari's hosted co-creation activations on World Punja Network, a leader in empowerment radio and How to Heal Anything live and internet TV program. Her transformational work includes critically acclaimed courses on energy healing, animal communication, and the groundbreaking quantum creating and divine human courses. Kamari transmits a powerful, loving, energetic presence where healing shifts occur spontaneously and the light and wisdom of the soul is unveiled. She teaches with a practicality and playfulness that is disarmingly potent, fully anchored in knowing that everyone can awaken to their divine nature and spiritual healing gifts, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. That intro, ladies and gentlemen, that intro does not do her justice. I'm going to bring her on and you can see what I'm talking about, because as wonderful as that intro is, she's just a fabulous, fabulous human being. So let me introduce you to my friend Kamari. Are you with us?
Carol, yes, but boy, you set the bar high.
Oh, better high than not, so we're good.
There you go. We'll reach it.
There you go.
Yes. The other part of the topic that we had talked about was be your own healer. I think it got cut off because it was too long.
I think you're right. I apologize.
I love that part. No apologies. I just wanted to state it up front, because I really, truly believe that all of us can be our own healer. And I've made my life's work about showing people how to do that. So, yeah.
Well, I, you know, your life's work is, I think I need to go full disclosure here. I have taken a number of your courses. You and I have had multiple conversations. You know, you are a person that truly makes this you. You know, what you talk about tonight and what everybody needs to understand is what Kamari says tonight, she lives, she practices, she breathes, she eats, she sleeps, all of it. And there's a sincerity that is untouched. So I needed to say that tonight just because, you know, I have a lot of people on the show, and I'm very grateful for every single person that's done this show, and I've had some fabulous, fabulous people, and again, very, very grateful. But when I talk with you, there's always a sense of you just make it real for so many different people. It's just hard to describe. So I'm hoping that tonight people can get that feeling as well. And if they don't, you'll just come back and we'll just make it happen. So there you go.
Alrighty then. And so it is, and so it shall be.
That's right. So mote be, so they say, right?
Yeah. So thank you for that incredible intro. And yes, we have had some moments over the years. We've gone quite deep, and that's a testament, by the way, to you as well. I just want to say that right back at you, because I have a lot to share, a lot that's worked for me and many, many clients. I've studied with some great teachers and masters, and one thing I know is that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So it's very hard to work on a level that we've worked on if you weren't really open, ready, and willing to hear it, implement it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's really a big part of the deal as well. So if you're listening, you might just want to check in to your openness. Not that you have to say, you know, believe everything I'm saying, but check it out for yourself. Try it. See if it works for you, you know, and that's really part and parcel of the deal. You know, I can share some nuggets, but you kind of have to take it in. And you always did that, Carol, so I am honored to be on your show, I have to say. You've done some amazing healings with your dogs, and I know you've accomplished a lot as well. So,
thanks. That means a lot. Thank you. So all that being said, I mean, you know, now that we've done this mutual admiration thing,
yes,
let's kind of move on here with you know, I think everybody needs to know that the topic of tonight did not come lightly. It came with a lot of dialogue between the two of us, and that we had to really struggle for the words that we chose, because when we chose Courageous Conversations, it's because of what you were just talking about. So I'm going to open up here, and I'm going to say, yes, as much as I appreciate everything that you've said, I need to say it is not easy work. And you have to really be, you know, correct. You're absolutely, obviously correct that you have to really be open for it. But the thing that I want everyone to understand is that when you're making a shift in your life, it's not easy, and it does take some courage, because there are going to be things that you're going to face, and you're going to have to say, hey, do I stay true to myself, or do I turn and shift? And so we came up with dis-ease, because the word disease is what we're used to as a society, as a public, and we say, you know, you've got a disease, what's, you know, and what does that mean? Well, when Kamari says dis-ease, she's looking at it energetically, and she's saying, you know, where are you? Where are you coming from? And what's in you that got you to this point? And now what do you want to do about it? So maybe we can kind of start off with just maybe give us an example of someone that you've worked with, so that we can kind of get into the whole pattern of being.
Well, I was actually going to say something about the dis-ease. So the underlying assumption there is that the body in its illness patterns or process is showing up a dis-ease, the underlying assumption is that it's our true nature to be in ease and joy. And that's stunning right off the bat. So let's just get that out there. Most people would not even believe that.
It's a concept for a lot of people, you know. So let's say that again, okay? And say it slowly because I think it's kind of foreign for a lot of people that we should be in ease.
I just reread this beautiful book, Anita Moriani, I hope I'm saying her name right. And it's called Dying to Be Me, a woman who literally was at the hospital on her deathbed, pronounced clinically dead. They left the room, and she had a near-death experience. I don't know, it went on for 20 minutes or something where she was left, you know, after all vital signs were gone. And she came back, and her whole cancer-ridden body healed. And she said, if I had known this before, I don't believe I ever would have gotten cancer. And it's just what I said, that it is really our divine right to be happy, to have joy in this incarnation. And so many of us have been taught so many different things, but not that. And she had such an experience in that space of receiving and being love, and realized that, you know, it was her lack of self-love that all her life she was judging herself, she was critical, her parents were perfectionists and wanted a lot for her. She never felt okay, never felt that she could approve of herself, and that's what shifted. So when I say it's our birthright to be in ease, I'm saying it from that wisdom that has come from many spiritual beings who've had exquisite experiences of the truth of that, you know, and it goes against a lot of our upbringing, our cultures, and our religions.
It really does. It really does, because everything that we're taught from an early age is that, you know, everything's a struggle and mm-hmm. So, let's talk about that some more.
So if you have the assumption, I'm jumping to the body now. If you have the assumption that the body is supposed to have a certain amount of pain or age a certain way, or we're not supposed to be happy, that's not really our gig here. We're supposed to be suffering in silence. We're supposed to be polite and not saying what we really think. All these things are factors in your healing prognosis from my perspective. In other words, if you hold those as your beliefs, it's going to be very hard to turn around an illness process because they are part and parcel of the problem. And so the body, if we assume that the body is working against us, like a lot of Western medicine kind of pits us against the body and against the process that it's going through and against the dis-ease and against the pain, and right? And so we're just trying to plug it up, rather than the approach that I'm going to lead you through with some of these questions, which would be much more inquiring from a non-judgmental place about how the body is trying to express its out-of-balance-ness in the moment. And when we start making friends with the body and understand that the body is in its highest wisdom doing the best it can with maybe a lot of lemons that we're feeding it, you know, through our sour mindset or attitude or emotional baggage that we're carrying, you know, for eons, then the body is trying to let us know that we might have to make some of those changes, which you said are not so easy. So the questions, when we talked about the courageous questions, I can actually start with them, and I'll give you examples of how they were part of my and my client's healing, like very direct healing, if you want to do it that way.
Yeah, that'd be great. Let's do it.
Okay, cool. So the very first thing I would say is to get curious with this assumption that the body is not working against you. It's not out to get you. It's not attacking you. You know, all the things that we tend to get into, this fight with it.
Mm-hmm.
if we get curious and we tune in and ask your body, why? Why are you showing me this pain? Why am I feeling this illness or injury? Why is this happening? Not why is this happening beating your head against the wall, like why is it happening to me, oh poor me, but really truly be mindful and listen. Start tuning into your body, and I can tell you 80 to 90% of the people out there are not in their bodies. They're not listening to all the subtle cues. We've shut them down, you see. Growing up, we've been told not to feel, not to express how we feel, not to trust our feelings, because they're just emotions after all. And so we've learned at a really early age to shut down how we feel and the subtle sensations that go along with those discomforts, those diseases, discomfort in the body. So it's simple to get curious and start to listen. And I'll tell you, sometimes you will get immediate answers. It happened like this the first time I always heard this, by the way. I thought it was a little crazy. I was an attorney at the time. And I was writing my very first brief in this brand new job that was a friend of mine's husband, so there was a lot of pressure. And I was working all weekend with a blank sheet of paper in front of me. I literally could not write one word because I had no idea what my argument was. I didn't understand the legal premises. I was a fish out of water in a whole new environment. And so I thought I was supposed to have it all together, you know, and have a beginning, a middle, and an end to the brief, but I couldn't get there at all. And so my stomach was literally in knots for days. And every time I sat to write, it got so bad I had to stop and do something else. So finally, someone actually told me this. I didn't even think of it. They said, ask your body why the stomach pain. You know, maybe you'll get some insight. And I thought they were a little, you know, off.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought, well, nothing else has worked. So I'm staring at the blank page going, okay, body, what is up with this stomach that is in knots? And I immediately put something on the paper. Just start writing. Like, don't try to have it all worked out in your head. Don't try to have all the legal, you know, you can't possibly get there from here. Just put some things down on paper. And it literally was like chicken scratch, not full sentences, not legal arguments, just I don't know what I put on paper. But it was that act of moving forward despite this paralyzing fear, which was really what was going on. I was terrified he was going to see that he hired the wrong person and I wasn't cut out and blah, blah, blah. So as soon as I did that, guess what happened?
Everything went away?
Stomach pain went away immediately. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, instantaneous. Now, it doesn't always happen that easy. I use that as the first example because sometimes you'll get really lucky and just say, okay, what's going on? You'll get the answer and the pain goes away. But it doesn't always happen that way. I was quite the non-believer at the time, so maybe it was happening for me to pay attention because I didn't even believe what I was doing, you know, at that time.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, you first, go ahead.
Well, I was going to move into deepening the questions a little bit because at that point, some of you may not get anything. You know, you'd be sitting there and going, my stomach is not talking to me. I'm not getting any answers. And yeah.
Right.
So it was a teaching that I needed. I had this concept, this belief, you know, that things should just come out whole. If you're an artist, you know right ahead of time what the painting's going to be. If you're a singer, it comes out of your throat perfect. You know, that certain things were supposed to come out whole. And it was really erroneous. I had no idea how much I had to work at writing. I thought writing was an art, and therefore it just should flow. Well, totally not true. I just needed to start. And that was huge for me. And every aspect of my life, just get started. It went against a lot of ideas that I had that really were getting me stuck. But if you have to go deeper, which many times I do for myself and others, this is where some of the courage comes in, this next question. Like that first one doesn't take a lot of courage, right? Now it's starting to get to it. If you start looking at this question: how could it be serving me to be getting sick right now, to have this pain or illness or injury or accident, you know, whatever happened? I'll say it again. How is it serving me? Now, some people are going to get pissed off just hearing that.
Right.
How might I be benefiting from this? There is always an upside, always.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have some courage to really face it, right? Because the upside might be you might be benefiting by getting out of doing something, you know? For instance, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just going to kind of reiterate a little bit of what you said, because if people were hearing this for the first time, and they shouldn't be hearing this for the first time on this show, because we've had, you know, some other fabulous people come out and talk about this as well. But just in case you are, if you're hearing it for the first time, you might be saying, well, yeah, why, you know, if I had a car accident, what would be the advantage to me, and why would I be silly enough to think that there's an advantage there? And I think it's important to know that what we're talking about is not—it's not crazy, it's not cuckoo. It's a mind shift. So it's how to look at things a little differently and to think of things a little differently and kind of proceed down a path that maybe you would not have chosen. So I just kind of wanted to get that in there, and you take it from
Thank
there.
Thank you. A lot of times this is not on the conscious level, by the way, which is why some of these questions can really be a breakthrough, because none of these things are happening from a conscious level. But we may know that, you know, a large part of what goes on is under the hood, is unconscious. Much of our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs are not even on the surface at a conscious level for many of us. So we're operating with a lot of old brain stuff already. The other aspect of this is self-sabotage. A lot of people have a sense that they're sabotaging themselves. They don't really get how that can be. It's not like they try to get in an accident or they're conscious of it, but they see a pattern. They see that they get close to a goal, and all of a sudden they take themselves out in one way or another. It can be getting sick. It can be an accident. It can be an injury. It can be we start an argument. So this is a concept not necessarily mine, but I was just reading it, and I've come across it, of course, for years. But there's a fabulous book on this called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. He's a PhD, and he talks about this upper limit problem, that when we actually get close to thriving, we have this like inner thermostat, right? We have a setting that we're comfortable at. We're comfortable at a certain level of income, we're comfortable at a certain amount of good happening to us in relationships, a certain amount of love, success, money, whatever you, health. And then when we get beyond that comfort zone, we actually get triggered. And the triggered, again, is that subconscious saying, I'm not comfortable. I'll read this quote. Each of us has an inner thermostat setting that determines how much love, success, and creativity and health, I would add, we allow ourselves to enjoy. When we exceed our inner thermostat setting, we'll often do something to sabotage ourselves, causing us to drop back into the old familiar zone where we feel secure. Another way of saying this, another quote, I don't remember who wrote this, replacing the comfort of known misery with the discomfort of unknown joy can be one of the main obstacles on your path to wellness. And I've seen this happen over and over. It sounds a little crazy. And, again, you might get a little annoyed at me for even suggesting it. But the truth is, over and over, I have seen that we are so much more comfortable, even with pain, suffering, sadness, illness, a certain poverty, you know, whatever it is that we're used to. It's what is that saying? Better the devil you know. It's that concept of
when you don't know, right?
The most terrifying thing for all of us is the unfamiliar. This happens in meditation. Yeah, when we get out of what we know, all kinds of triggers will kick up to pull us back. It's almost like our rubber band snaps back to keep us in the known. And this is this might be a little hard to swallow if it's your first time hearing that, but I'm telling you, read that book, The Big Leap. It's incredible for fleshing out in a really simple way. Somebody who's worked with thousands and thousands of clients, very famous clients, very successful clients, and talked about this upper limit problem. So when I say, you know, what might be a benefit from getting sick, let's talk about that. So another way of asking a similar question, what is getting sick preventing me from doing or not doing? I found that question years ago. I started saying, well, okay, what is this situation, being sick, being in pain, having an injury, having an accident, what's happening that is keeping you from doing or forcing you to do? That's another way in, the door, right? What's
right.
it keeping you from doing or forcing you to do differently? Because, of course, everything changes when you're sick.
Right.
People give us permission maybe to not cook dinner every night. This was my mom's pattern. The only way she got out of cook, she was excellent, excellent cook. My dad would never take us out because she cooked better than any restaurant, and this is true. And she didn't know how, as a polite woman in the 50s or 60s or 70s, to say, I need a night off. You know, I'm never off my job of being the housekeeper and the chef. And so she would get sick and be on the couch sniffling with the flu, and she did this repeatedly. And I took that pattern on. So guess what happens? I'm finding I have flu symptoms years ago, and I was already doing some healing work, so I had a little bit more awareness than my mom, perhaps. And by the way, it worked. She got out of cooking those nights, you know? It was like, okay. But what a way to do that, right? Wouldn't it have been nice?
Well, yeah, and having known your mom, I can certainly see that, and she would absolutely know how to do that. Yeah, she was great.
Not at all conscious. I'm not saying any of this is done consciously. But it was a way, her mind, body, spirit, her innate intelligence, if you will, found a way to trigger another scenario that worked out for her, to give her that break, okay? So I'm having the same symptoms, right? The flu symptoms, congestion, sore throat, body aches. I'm literally doing my mom's pattern. And I went, okay, this feels really crappy. At that point, I had never been able to turn it around before when it was full on like that. Sore throat, aches all over. You know, we're looking at a week usually for me. And that was happening 3-4 times a year. And many people will say that's normal. That's not normal. That's not happened to me in a really long time. So, again, I said, okay, what is my body trying to tell me? Now, I had the benefit of Reiki at this time. I was doing Reiki, and I had some people doing some Reiki on me. And I very quickly got another answer, and that was, I just need some downtime. And I thought of my mom, how she managed that. And I had a terrifying boss at the time, and you just didn't. We dealt with AIDS and death and very, very, very sick people. You didn't get any sympathy unless you were sounding horrible and sounding infectious, you know? It was the only way you got off because we were dealing with things so over the top. So I couldn't commit right away to take the time off without being sick. And I thought, oh, my God, I have to face her. I'm going to have to call and ask for time. And I actually took me a few minutes because I was actually really scared of her. And I didn't know if I had the courage, you see, to speak what I needed without taking myself out and getting sick. So I finally made the commitment. I said, all right, I'll call in the morning. I'll ask for some time. I only took till 1 o'clock, but it was enough. As soon as I made the commitment full on, I was a full on, okay, I'm doing this. I'm not going to go into work in the morning. I'm going to rest. Literally every single symptom disappeared.
Wow.
Right? Then, of course, what did I do? I went, ooh, maybe I can go into work. I feel fine. but
yeah,
I was nervous enough. Yeah, I didn't, by the way. Do not do that. If your body is going to such lengths to get you to take time off and you finally have the courage, you got to follow it up. Don't play with it. Don't play with fire that way. I didn't, but I had the thought, you know, like maybe I can negotiate.
So, okay, so the lesson there is pay attention to your body and pay attention but don't just say, okay, I'm fine now and move on. You have to actually be aware of it, and you have to actually acknowledge it, right?
You have to acknowledge it and commit to doing the action or the thing that shows up to bring your mind, body, spirit back in balance. So somewhere my body was saying, if you don't take time for yourself, I'll have to make you sick in order to take it. Do you know what I'm saying? My body was my cohort. My body was supporting me to get the downtime that I was desperately needed. And I was exhausted on every level. And I didn't know how to ask for what I needed at that time at all. We were serving all the time. You know, that was, I was a good person if I gave and gave and gave until I dropped. That was my old belief system. So my body was supporting me to get out of that pattern, but I had to have the courage to do it without the body defending me by getting sick and, you know, giving me that excuse. So when I say, what's the body doing, you know, preventing me from doing or not doing, if I got sick, it was preventing me from going to work when I was exhausted, you see, and I would have to take some time. Then I'd have to be sick, and it had to go through more. So ideally, you know, not great to get sick in order to take that time, right? If we could negotiate straight up and just go straight to what we needed and have the courage to speak what we need and take it, then the body doesn't have to go so out of balance in order to get us there.
So how is it then if you know, we're listening to this for the first time and we're kind of trying to pull this together, what are some of the subtleties that somebody might pick up on that, you know, and I'm not asking you to be specific and be dead on. I'm just saying, give us some examples of some of the things that you've seen so that people can start to learn how to be in tune with themselves, you know, early on, so that, it, you know, they can maybe start to become more aware sooner.
Oh, fabulous question. This happens to me all the time now. So when I'm a little overextended, first of all, normally we shut those cues down, right? So I have gotten very, very aware and conscious of those little subtle cues, and that's what you're asking. I will get a little tickle. I'll get a tickle in my throat, or I'll start to feel achy. I'll get similar but much less intense. I'll get a little headachy, and it doesn't go away right away. I'll feel a tickle in my throat. I feel run down. I might even get a little, you know, congested. Not full on, not an actual cold, not a cough. Just like, and here's actually what I say. This is actually brilliant as well. I say, I'll tell Kamara because I want to make him aware that, you know, he can support me. But without saying, I am sick, I'll say, feeling a little run down at the moment. A cold is trying to land.
There you go.
And that's exactly my experience of it. Something is trying to land. If I don't pay attention and take action now, it's trying to land. So I'll have similar symptoms of feeling run down. You know, tummy ache. I usually tend more toward congestion and headache and sore throat. So any or all of those, just begin. You know, we often have that in the very early symptoms, and we ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we do. So you're saying anything that, and if we move away from the, not because it's a great example, but let's just say we move away from the cold kind of thing. But let's, you know, I'm gonna take you full spectrum now and go, all right, so now we've ignored all those little subtleties, and now we're into a full-blown bronchitis that is going into pneumonia. And so, you know, those particular types of dis-ease, you know, are compounded by subtleties that may have occurred earlier. But then You know, we're so good in this society of saying, hey, you know, I'm going to go see the doc, get a couple of antibiotics, get maybe some IV antibiotics if I'm that sick with pneumonia, and then I'm all good and I don't need to think about it again. So what is it that we do to, you know, once we're allegedly healed, what do we do? What do we say? Okay, well, that's over with? Or do we go back and say, what was that about, and what do I do now, and how do I change this, or what do I do?
If you're out of that process, it's a little harder to get to when you're not in the process. I will say, can you say, why do I always get sick when it comes time to be with my family at the holidays, you know, or what? I mean, that's an easy one to answer usually for most people. So one of the deepening questions is, what could this illness process be protecting me from feeling?
Mm-hmm.
How is it serving me to not feel something, to not experience something more fully, to avoid more pain? You know, many people will say emotional pain is the worst kind. Like they would rather feel all kinds of horrible physical pain than deal with difficult emotional pain. And so that message gets loud and clear, and so our body takes care of it by doing
well. I'm gonna flip over to a clinician mode for a second and say, with emotional pain comes adrenal downtime, which means that, you know, our immune system is not functioning at proper speeds. So then it kind of becomes compounded with physical pain. So we have emotional and physical pain that kind of come together, and then we have a bigger issue on our hands, and then most of us, as you were talking earlier, go into the what did I do mode to deserve this, and that is not, you know, that's not the frame of mind that we're talking about. We're talking about,
no,
hey,
it's not victim mode or blame mode. What did I do wrong? But it's really a gentle form of self inquiry and self awareness. You know, if you were,
so let's talk about something. Let's do that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I wanted to trot this other question out and then really get into this, because this is a good one. Another question along these lines: am I getting sick or hurt to punish myself or punish someone else? So these are all truths that need to be explored with, or questions that need to be explored with, a lot of compassion,
right?
You know, and tenderness and non-judgment, because frankly, we all do it. It's not you doing it or someone else doing it and no one else. Everyone has learned from a very young age how to avoid the potholes of pain that are overwhelming a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old. We have learned to reroute all kinds of systems within our mind-body to get around difficult, challenging, or horrific experiences and to survive. So the way that we're trying to unravel this is not to judge ourselves even more, but it's having compassion to how smart my body was to find a way to get me out of work when I really needed to rest. It's kind of coming at it that way. Or one time, my husband was really mad at me, and he had a right to be. I had made a choice that left him stranded, and we didn't have cell phones at the time, so I couldn't let him know. And he was waiting for me for quite a long time. And I had met somebody that I knew I had to talk to, and I had to decide, you know, whether to run to the car and meet him or to finish the conversation. And he was livid, all the way home, livid. And he was helping me out, so he really put himself out for me. And I was so uncomfortable with his anger that as I was unloading the truck with the stuff from the expo we were at, I fell off the truck. I never fall. I slipped and fell in a huge mud puddle, twisted my ankle, and was covered in mud. But I caught it that I was actually trying to punish myself so that he didn't need to. I was literally upset with myself, and I knew he was upset with me, so I kind of took myself out, and I caught it in the moment for what I did. Now, early years, I've done many things like that, but I didn't understand how I was doing that. But in that moment, I made a commitment to not hurt myself in order to avoid somebody else's feelings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I had actually done. And I haven't done that since. But it was such a dramatic experience that I kind of caught, and my newfound awareness by asking these questions compassionately said, "Well, look what you did, Kumari. You were so nervous with his anger that you did this whole punishing thing."
In the meantime, the other side, he was doing the old, "Now I can't even be mad at her because now she's hurt." So
that's what I was
there
hoping
you go.
For. It didn't work as well as I thought. I was looking pretty pathetic.
Exactly right. You know? So
it didn't quite work the way I intended. So if I had actually manipulated that on purpose, it wasn't really working. But I didn't. It was still unconscious. I just closed the gap of my unconscious behavior and said, "Wait a minute. What just happened here?" You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I realized I was in a lot of fear about his reaction. We were
right.
still kind of a new couple at the time. I was really uncomfortable with him being angry, and I was guilty. You know, I did some things that made him angry. So I was all of it. Anyway, yes, that compassion for self, you have to ask these questions with a really open mind and a really kind heart. You can't put yourself in victim mode or blame mode, you know? That's really doing more of the same old, same old. It's not about saying, "Well, I chose this illness because I'm a terrible person." No, it's trying to unravel the different ways that we may be unconsciously reacting to unfelt emotions, suppressed emotions, to situations that we feel like we're not prepared to handle. And it gives us a doorway to glean more awareness, you know, so we can maybe be more direct, express our feelings, have those more challenging conversations instead of putting them off. So, for instance, this one woman had this was early on. I was working in a psychiatrist's office doing Reiki, actually. And she knew that it wasn't just about giving people more meds. She was desperate to help them out of their difficulties and not just be adding more medication. And so she hired some people like me. Anyway, doing holistic things, this one woman came, and we did the whole session, and she had some good experiences. But at the end, she said, "I still have this stabbing pain in my back. What is that?" And I immediately got the answer, mother. Now, I knew nothing about this woman. She was a brand new client. And I was still kind of nervous about sharing my insights, you know, with people I didn't know. But I risked it. I heard it 3 times, and I said, "Okay, I'm just going to say what's popping up. I think it has to do with your mother." And she said, "Absolutely not possible. My mother and I get along great." And I was like, "Crap." That's all I got. She was totally fighting me. And then she said, "We get along great. We have a wonderful relationship. There's nothing with my mom except for that one time that she stabbed me in the back and wouldn't let me come to my father's funeral. And I have never been able to forgive that. But otherwise, we're fine." I said, "Did you even hear your languaging?" Yeah. I mean, crystal clear. Stabbed in the back. She had described the pain as a stabbing pain in her back. So I said, "Perhaps it's time to forgive her." She goes, "It's not forgivable that she kept me from my dad's funeral. That's not forgivable by anybody for, you know," like, she got really angry with me, actually. And I said, "Maybe you and I are having different definitions of forgiveness." I said, "To me, the forgiveness would entail releasing this hurt that is in you creating such pain and letting go of that, not forgetting or allowing the behavior again or not even saying it was okay, but letting go of the need to hang on to that and suffer. That's what I'm saying was forgiveness, you know?" And she still argued with me that that wasn't possible, but at least I maybe planted a seed. So she goes home. She has a session the next week. I ask her about her back, and she says, "What? What back pain?" She doesn't even remember. I said, "Wow. You know, the thing that we couldn't even release last time, you said you had this stabbing pain for years. Years this was going on. This was years." And she said, "Oh, I forgot about that." oh, I had this long talk with my mom, and we discussed all the things you had talked about, and I told her again how I felt so hurt by her actions, and we had this amazing call. And she goes, I guess I don't have that pain anymore. That's what I'm talking about.
So talk about the courage that it takes to do this, because I kind of opened the show a little bit with, you know, some of the things that people are faced with, and you know, I kind of want to wrap it through the courage, because it does take a lot of courage to actually stand up and say, this is what I need, or this is...
Yeah.
And I'll just use myself for an example for a minute. You know, there was a point in my life a few years ago where I had made a conscious decision to pretty much divorce those people in my life that were not necessarily... healthy for me. I don't know how else to say it. You know, there are some people that you just kind of associate with, and you find that they're not necessarily supporting you emotionally. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So I made a conscious decision to divorce some people in my life, and when I did that, I am still I'm still having to deal with the ramifications of some of those decisions, because some of them were family. The ramifications have been unrelenting and intense. And it's just incredible. And every time I face that, I literally have to look in the mirror and say, this is really best for you at this point, you know, and I have to hold true to myself. And it gets incredibly difficult, but I also know that by giving in, I know that it's not healthy for me either emotionally or physically. And so I have to hold true, and it's very, very difficult.
It definitely is. And by the way, some of these conversations cannot happen in truly unsafe environments. You know what I mean? You can't express yourself to an active abuser, you know, who's pummeling you. I'm just saying this, that I'm not suggesting that people take on scary people in their lives, you know, this way. It's not advisable. I'm talking about the situations where it's you and you. You know, you're with yourself, you're with your reactions, you want more self-awareness, and you're ready to start healing, you just don't know how. These are some of the ways that you can do that. But if you're not in safe environments, with people who are safe to ask for your needs to be met, or that you have any hopes of having them be met, and you'll just be pummeled down, this isn't going to work, right? You have to get out of that situation in order for yourself to even have a shot at that. So, yes, you know, having people around you who are supportive, who want your best interest, who are willing to compromise perhaps and help you out when you need it and when you ask for it, these are all essential for healing as well.
And I kind of wanted to bring that up because it's important that you have you have support. And you know, then I kind of want to, we're running out of time as usual. What I wanted to do then was also wrap that around to an acute illness, you know, like a severe illness. You know, somebody gets all the way to, say, lung cancer. You know, what if anything, and I don't say if anything lightly, I just say for the new listener out there, you know, most people when they get to that point, it's like, well, you know, I'm kind of at the mercy of everybody, what do I do? Or, you know, for some of us, it might be, you know, I choose not to do the traditional route, I choose to do something else, or I choose to look inward and figure out what it is that got me here that maybe I can back out of. But I kind of want you to kind of go through that a little bit so that people can see that there are choices even at that stage.
Well, the first thing I would say is read Louise Hay, because she did just that. She was given a cancer diagnosis maybe not end-stage lung cancer, but a cancer diagnosis. And she chose, she told them that she didn't have insurance. They wanted her to come in for surgery the very next day and all the chemo and radiation and surgery. And she said, I don't have insurance. And they said, okay, you can wait up to three months. They didn't say when they thought she had the money.
Wow.
Which I found fascinating as well. So she used that 3 months to really dive into every healing modality she could get her hands on at that time. She did reflexology. She did a lot of body work, and she did much of what I'm sharing with you. She started digging into old hurts and things that she hadn't forgiven or released or let go. She really started doing some soul searching, and by the time the 3 months came and the reevaluation came, she was cancer-free. And, of course, you know, Hay House Publications has now been a pioneer in the field for many, many, many years of all things mind, body, spirit. And so there are many things you can do no matter what route you go. I do want to have a caveat here, since this is on a health and nutrition show, and because it's happened to me recently, I've had some dear friends not listen to me when I tell them to go get tested. So I'm not saying you should just sit home and examine your navel and ask some tough questions. You know, I'm not saying that at all. There's so many things I would share for you to do, but we have a limited call. These questions will hopefully give you some empowerment that you have some of the answers within, if you just can begin to explore it a little bit differently than we were taught. And I want to say that if you're dealing with anything, you do want to use Western medicine diagnostics. They are the bomb. They are off the charts. They help you understand how your body is showing its out-of-balance-ness. And then from there, you can do your homework and deal with it however you want, but you do have to monitor it. I just wanted to say that because I had two friends who did not do that, and it didn't turn out so well. So mm-hmm. At the same time, you can be diving in to asking the questions and then sending love to that part of you that needs support, healing, being heard, expression. You can journal if there's nobody to talk to. Take the action of the listening first, the asking the question second, and then hopefully implementing a strategy for that solution, taking a day off work so I don't have to get sick for a week. You know, I mean, if you can do it up front, it's amazing. If you're full on in a disease process, it's the same process. You just have to ramp it up. You can't okay. wait. You have to get into action on every level. So when somebody's got a full-on diagnosis like that, the biggest thing I see them do is take way too much time to get mm-hmm. into action. They should be in therapy, in counseling, in doing healing work, and, I mean, get to the root quick. Do you know what I mean? Just get the
right.
get it all done. Get it all done. Get the body taken care of. Take the supplements. You know, all of it. Don't wait and see, oh, I'll wait a couple months for this, see if that works. I had friends who did that. I'm like, just if you read that there's significant support with this modality, do the modality. You know what I mean? Just do it all.
Right.
And it's hard right. at that time because you're getting hit with so many things, but really feel into what feels right to you and make sure there's a mind, body, spirit approach. In other words, people who make you happy, programming that makes you laugh, reading that uplifts you and shows you how people are healing. Surround yourself with that. Really surround yourself. Uplifting music, everything that supports you, you know, to maintain a higher equilibrium. And, you know, detoxing the body, giving the body what it needs to eliminate inflammation, acidity, bring it. Everything has to be brought back into balance. It's just that you have to do that all at once. And that's not easy to do. Not impossible.
No, it's not.
And that's why it's really great to get into some of these really positive habits and healing habits and get a healing team around you of trusted team members, you know, an acupuncturist, a chiropractor, an energy healer like me, a good holistic practitioner, you know, so you have a gamut and you're already on the train. It's a lot harder to do this when you're full on. But that's often when people would come to me. You know, that's when people would do the crazy stuff like Reiki or energy healing when they gave up. And they still had phenomenal healing, but often the body at that point was too debilitated to turn it around, you know. But they would have healing in terms of their relationships. They would have healing in terms of their relationship with God or their spiritual sense of self. They'd have healing, not just healing of the physical body. It can happen, but it's certainly, you know, and that woman did. She was literally pronounced dead for 20 minutes or more, and she had a full-on healing from just experiencing the great love that she was. She experienced herself as great love. So I would say if we're wrapping this up to final things, after you ask these questions, send love to that part of you that chose that out-of-balance way to try and get your attention, to try and get you to go a little deeper, to try and bring you more awareness and more healing.
I think that one of the things when Carol and Mace, I was listening, you know, when I started to kind of get into this stuff, and I listened to Carol and Mace, Spiritual Madness, and the thing that hit home with me, and you said it earlier, was like, hey, do I need to get you fired in order to get your attention that this is not a good path for you? And that kind of just resonated with me for an awful long time, because most of us would look at that and we would say, oh my God, I got fired. But those of us who take this particular path, you look at it and say, well,
good luck,
what
bad luck, who knows, right? The Chinese story, was it? Good luck, bad luck, who knows?
Got me here, and what do I need to do? And I think if we leave everybody with that kind of, you know, what you had just said, with asking those questions internally as to where am I, what got me here,
is this taking me? What is this helping me to do or not do? What is this making me do or not do? How is this benefiting me? How is this punishing me? All those questions you can start sitting with. You know, what is it protecting me from feeling? That's a huge one, because many times we have physical pain, so we don't feel the emotional pain. If we can crack that nut with a lot of love and a lot of compassion, then our awareness shifts. You know, one of my favorite words lately is crapportunity. If you can look at pain, illness, suffering, disease as crapportunity, I'm not saying it's wonderful, I'm not saying you should just immediately love it, but I am saying if you can have a moment of asking what the crapportunity is, you know, what is this all bringing you to? How is this perhaps bringing you closer to some people? How is this looking for the crapportunity in all of it? Will actually speed many times the different levels of healing, spiritually, emotionally, physically. It's quite amazing when we stop fighting life as it's unfolding for us and start getting really curious, you know.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. So we need to wrap it up. Do you want to give out any information as to how people get in touch with you, or do you want to...
I have a free gift if you'd like to check it out, where we get into a little bit more detail and some actual healing techniques that you can do right away. And it's a training I did called Everyone Can Be a Healer. I truly, truly, truly believe that. Of course, I've been training healers in form of Reiki and other ways for, like you said, more years than I'd like to count. I'm probably up to 28, 29. I probably skimmed a few. And that is at my website, kumarihealing.com. That's K-U-M-A-R-I, healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G.com, /free gift Reiki. That's /free gift Reiki is R-E-I-K-I. Or you can just go on my site and email me, and I will send that to you if you like. And that will help you take some of
the... Or you can post it if you like. If you want to post it on the Blog Talk page, that would be great.
Oh, sure. I'll do that as soon as we get off. Yeah. Fabulous.
Great.
Wonderful.
Okay. That'll make it easier for everybody. Just check out the Blog Talk Radio page and join us and take a free gift from Kamari. What a fabulous opportunity. Thank you so much for doing that.
Very, very welcome. And closing remarks, the healing power of love, for many years I asked, what is this energy that is helping people heal, that, you know, the Japanese who founded it called it Reiki, or universal life force. I was like, what is this? I know universal life force, universal energy in my mind, you know, but I couldn't grasp the concept. And every single time I would ask that question to have more insight and awareness about what was actually happening, what was doing the healing, I got one word and one word only for all these 28 years, and it was love. Love was doing the healing. Love was the energy. And it goes beyond that. Like I said, the author of the book, Dying to Me, she said, I am that love. She saw in that near-death experience, there was no separation between her, the love, God, source, whatever you want to call it. There was just this exquisite magnificence. And the feeling that everyone is the same, love, and that life force had the flavor of love, or the context was always in the field of this immense love, that once she accepted it, she was no longer the same, you know, once she was swimming in it. So there wasn't even trying to be loving. That's not what I'm saying. It's literally being the love that you are, and knowing that you can send love to your body parts, to your mind, to your soul, that you are that. And it's very, very, very empowering. So it's where Reiki is drawn from as well. So that's something everyone can begin doing, is loving the being with, you know, what's happening now, and can you be with it? Just be present with it, and then send love for the healing action.
Amazing. Kamari, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. We are out of time. We are definitely going to ask you to come back and continue this.
What else is there? I don't know what else I would talk about. It's all love.
I think there's a lot to talk about. I think there's more. If you're willing, I'd love to have you back.
I'd be honored. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. We have a new guest in 2 weeks. We're going to be talking about a topic that, you know, we are health and wellness, and part of that health and wellness is we're going to do a topic that I haven't covered yet, and that is suicide. We're going to be talking with an author that just published a new book on the suicide of her brother, and kind of talk about the healing aspects of where she is right now and what that means and where we can go. So join us, and we got some other fabulous shows coming up for the year, and we'll see where everybody fits. We also have an animal show coming up too, so we never forget our furry family members. So we'll see you again, everybody. Good night. Have a wonderful evening, and we'll talk again. Okay?
Good night.
Good night.